Don't say.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode of the Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Horowitz & Company. If you're looking for a portfolio manager, look no further. Horowitz & Company, from seed through harvest, cultivating financial success.
You know, there used to be only two ways to meet for business, over the phone or in person. Now there's a better way. Use GoToMeeting to meet online. With GoToMeeting, everyone sees your computer desktop on their computer screen. So you get the best of both worlds. It's like meeting in person, but without wasting time and money traveling. And your conference calls will be more effective. The best part is that you can actually try it for free. That's right, GoToMeeting is free right now for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/podcasts. That's gotomeeting.com/podcasts for a free trial. Well, hello and welcome. This is Andrew Horowitz, and you are listening to the Disciplined Investor Podcast, episode number 142. And it's time that we start thinking about the past and start looking forward into the future. The new year is upon us, a great time to reflect, to consider what may be, what could be, what's going to be, consider the things that we've done wrong. It's in the things that we'd like to change, make those resolutions. But before you do so, I want you to consider something. The whole idea of resolutions. You know, resolutions are those things that, as I always say, you make these great promises, but you call them resolutions because if they're promises, you have to keep them. And resolutions, you kind of, well, you got a little wiggle room there. Well, you've heard me say this before, but one of my favorite things to do is to drive by the health clubs on about, I don't know, January 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th. And you see, like, at the Bally's Health Club, it's just an overflow of people. It's like some sale is going on, but these are all the resolutions that were made because of the excess turkey that was eaten on Thanksgiving and the ham that was eaten on Christmas. And let's not forget about those potato latkes. Let me tell you something, folks. If you celebrate Christmas, sure, you have a lot to eat, but you have one latke on Hanukkah, it's worth 12 turkeys. That is the greasiest, most delicious, by the way, but the greasiest, most fattening thing that you could possibly put in your mouth. And you know what? From the side of the Hanukkah celebration, never just eat one. So you just have to appreciate that. So now, you see that on January 7th, 8th, 9th. What happens after that? Well, slowly but surely, less and less cars. No, people are not now jogging to the place and feeling really good that they're not using their cars. What's happening is they're going on to the next issue. They give up on the exercise because it's too tough, and maybe they walk into Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, or some other program to try. By March, forget about it. They realize it's winter. Nobody's going to see me in a bathing suit anyway, so what's the difference? And then we go through the cycle year in and year out. That long story gets me to this point, that we're not going to let that happen when it comes to your investments. No longer are we going to talk about lazy portfolios. We're not going to talk about complacency, letting somebody else watch it, and you'll figure it out 10 years down the road. We call that the sleeping beauty portfolio. Kind of go to sleep and hopefully wake up one day, and everything will be just fine. Nope. That is not what you're going to do. So we're not going to ask you to make any resolutions this year in this time of celebration and looking into the next decade. Nope, we're going to talk about some things that you can do constructively and some disciplines that you can use and strategies that you can take in order to, you know, simply make more money on your money and, more importantly, to stop some of those losses that come. You know, those are the ones that kind of sneak up on you. It's down 1%, 2%, 3%. No problem, it'll come back. I heard it's a good stock. We're going to stay with it. Solid company, great looking overall chart. Down 5%, 6%. Oh, you know what? I'm in a hole. I'm not selling it now till it comes back. 8%, 9%, 10%. Uh-oh, what's going to happen? Now you start worrying about that. But you know, you say that the longer it takes, the better off. I'll be fine. Over time, it's going to be a good company. And then all of a sudden, it's down 15 and 20%. You panic, and what do? At that point, you sell. You could have saved yourself all sorts of money, all sorts of grief, all sorts of anger at yourself and disappointment in your process by sticking to a few basic rules and looking at a few things that we're going to talk about today. Last week we left off, we talked about the three-part process that we employ here for our client portfolios, for my personal portfolio, and we've written about in our books, and we constantly stick to, at least from the aspect of our core holdings, and that's the Quantifund de Tecna, the Disciplined Investor Process, where we look at quantitative investing and the systems and processes and disciplines there. And then we move over, and the next thing we do is we look at the fundamentals of a stock, of a region. We look at the overall health of it, and we then see, is it a good time to invest by looking at the technicals? Last week, we were talking with Kevin Hoffman, who works here, and he is a great analyst, and I'm going to bring him back today. We're going to talk about some more of the technicals and kind of take you through some of that. And if you recall, we were talking about Cognizant Technologies, I think, last week, and we're going to pick it up kind of talking about that as well. So Kevin Hoffman, welcome back.
Thank you.
2 weeks in a row. This is going to be
some kind of record.
It's not only a record, it may be, you know, the last of it. No, I'm kidding. You got a lot of people got a lot of emails last week again from people that were saying that they really enjoyed the time, and some people said that we really hadn't been talking about the basics for a while, and they were really happy about that. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are pretty much bored at this point. But it's a great time. It's in the middle of the holiday season, and nothing major is happening with the market in terms of anything just ridiculously exciting that we can go through, but I'm sure that we'll pick up at the beginning of the year.
Let's hope.
I mean, but plenty of news out there. Of course, we're not gonna bore you with that right now. We're gonna kind of get into some of the nitty gritty and really focus the show on this. So maybe you can come back. And the other thing I want to mention to you folks is that if you're listening and you hear us talk about things like PEG or I don't know ROE or something of that nature, and you don't know what we're talking about, I have a great solution. You can check out The Winning Investor. It's a quick and dirty tips. A presentation. It's called The Winning Investor's Guide to Beating the Market, or not beating the market. What do we call it? We call it The Winning Investor's Guide. Let me start again. The quick and dirty tips to making money in any market. Yeah, that's an easy title to remember, don't you think? Let's remember the winning.
Very catchy.
Yeah, very catchy. I sing it in the shower. But check out The Winning Investor, and you can go on either iTunes, you can go on our site, you can go to the Quick and Dirty Tips website. These are 5-minute discussions about different things. About technical analysis, about ROE, and there's a whole slew of things. You can look at, for example, travel. You can look at, you won't believe this, but it's true. One of the most popular podcasts at all is a Grammar Girl. Minion Fargetti puts on a great 5-minute podcast that talks about the difference between things like lay and lie, when you use that, the difference between affect and effect, which I need to go back and listen to that one again because I always seem to get that wrong. But you know what? With affect and effect, I figure... Effect. Just put effect. It can't be that
on everything,
wrong.
Right?
Yeah, it just can't be that wrong. I figure that. We're numbers guys. You know, the other stuff, every once in a while, we let the editors and proofreaders deal with that. But great podcast called The Winning Investor if you want to talk about some basics. And that's what we're kind of talking about today a little bit. So I thought we'd pick it up. Kevin, we were talking about, let's kind of refresh where we were. We're talking about Cognizant Technologies. This was a technology stock and the outsourcing and in the business of generally looking at looking at management of technology as well as providing services. So when we first looked at this company, we thought there was a potential for a buyout, right? We saw a lot of that going on.
Yeah, I think there was, like we talked about last week, there was plenty of good fundamentals going on there. Technicals were all in a line, and it's just an overall very strong company.
Right. So, but when we first saw it, this is now, let's take you back a little bit here. This is a number of months ago. We started looking at this, and we were concerned about a few different things. We were concerned about where it was playing. The technicals were looking good, but it didn't break out at this point yet, right? So take us through, we talked about the fundamentals last week, right? We talked about that. We talked about how we got to the stock. Take me through 2 or 3 of the different technicals that we look at, and maybe go back in time a little bit towards, July or August, something like that, and give us some examples. And we're going to put a chart on the website so you can kind of follow along, with some of these things.
Yeah, so the various things that we look at, we're looking at moving averages, we're looking at stochastics, moving averages already discussed, the moving average convergence divergence, as well as the relative strength. But we're also putting the context of the volume.
Put the brakes on. So let's put the brakes on. So you just said a lot of things.
That's right.
Some people are thinking, what the heck did he just say? It sounds good. You said the word stochastics. Is it a K, a CK? Is it a C? What? How do you spell it?
Oh, it's a CH.
CH, okay. So we're going to go back to the Grammar Girl. Who's on first? So now we talk about stochastics. We talk about the moving average convergence divergence, which we aptly known as the MACD. We talk about moving averages. The question a lot of people ask is, well, what moving average do I use?
Yeah, which one?
And which one? There's a lot of them. And you can make one of your own, whatever you want to put in there.
Right.
We like to use stock charts, by the way, stockcharts.com. There's a free service there. There's also a paid service there. And they have some of the best stocks out there, stock charts out there, totally able to be changed, saved. You can't save them if you don't pay for it. But you can use all these different things, and there's a great place to look up definitions, et cetera. The stochastics.
Very robust, too.
Very, very robust. I mean, yeah. It's really just an arsenal. I mean, point and figure charts, candlesticks. They even have the clouds, the Japanese style of cloud sharding, etc. But one of the things you talked about was stochastic. So we'll put those into the category of oscillators.
Right.
So it's a oscillator. So you know what an oscillator is. So, you know, think of the kind of ups and downs, oscillating kind of like electricity and electrical currents or waveforms.
Right.
And that's an oscillator. It moves up and down. Let's just say that for a moment. And then what are we looking for there?
What we're looking for is there's two points, really. There's the overbought section and the oversold section. And anything below 20 is generally considered the oversold section, and anything above 80 is generally the overbought section. The thing that you can get into a problem with, though, is a lot of times something can stay in an overbought territory for a long, long period of time. So we have to be careful in the fact that we use more than just one indicator. And with stochastics, you know, you can take them for what they are, but, you know, generally you want to combine them with multiple technical analysis indicators in order to come up with a reason to buy.
So the other thing about stochastics is there's different ways to look at it. You can look at what's called a slow stochastic, a fast stochastic. And let me talk about, you know, what that means for a second and some of the core calculations they use, not to bore you to death, but what they're using. So when you're looking at slow stochastics, we're looking at versus fast stochastics, we're looking at a time period differential. And, you know, do me a favor, explain to everybody what that means. I mean, what does the oscillator mean, and how, for example, without getting into gory details, how is the slow stochastics calculated? What does it mean?
Right. So without going into, you know, K and D and all the various, you know, details of stochastics, it's really just a momentum indicator that shows how the relative closing price of this stock has done with regards to the past high and lows over the set number of periods. Now, generally, stochastics are taken over a 14-day period. That's kind of like the generally accepted practice.
The standard.
Right, the standard amongst investment professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a three-day moving average of that particular formula. So if you want to see the formula, you should take a look at stock charts. They have a thing on their website called Chart School that gives the breakdown of all these various indicators and oscillators and moving averages and how they're calculated if you really want to get down to the nitty-gritty.
Right, there's different ways you can do this. I mean, you put different time periods in. You can put different moving averages in. So you may use a three-day moving average of the 7-day and the 14-day high and low, or you can use some other variation if you want to smooth it. If you want to see that oscillator a little bit more jumpy to see turning points, or if you want to see it a little bit more consistent and smooth so you're not getting in and out of things. In other words, confirmation and having a better confirmation area, right?
Right. So the first one is you have like your fast stochastics, and that's just the a 14-day period and then a 3-day moving average put over the top of that. Now, if you want to smooth it out a little bit more, generally it'd be a slow stochastic, then you'll have a 14-day, a 3-day moving average, and then the 3-day moving average on the 3-day moving average. And that's what gives you the slow and smoothness of the stochastics rather than being so sharp and volatile.
You think everybody got that?
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. So let's talk about how to use it.
Right.
I mean, that's a better way to do it because, you know, it's one thing to understand how to put the spark plugs in a car. You need to know that. You need to know what's going on with the engine and how it works. But you really don't need to know necessarily what cylinder is firing at any given time, or even if there is a spark plug in a car anymore, if it's fuel injected or whatever else may be.
Right.
So, but it's important to understand these things because I think it's the difference between understanding how to divide and to multiply and to add and subtract, or just knowing how to use a calculator, or better yet, just knowing how to use Excel. Because I will tell you that if you don't know how to do the basic process, there's no way you're going to be able to do extended formulas in Excel, if ever there is that need to do so.
That's right.
I mean, we've done massive Excel formulas that are probably, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of characters long. So we can do calculations and referencing to various other worksheets, other Excel documents, and then pulling in data through queries so that we can find stuff. And then if you look at our website, as a matter of fact, many of the charts you'll see on economics are all that we do. We do all those in-house here. So when we're talking about the employment numbers, or we're talking about the various Richmond Fed and manufacturing, Philly Fed and the Empire State business conditions and all those are all things that are done in-house, and Kevin creates a lot of those, and that's from data we pull from our Bloomberg system that brings it right into our analysis system that he's built. so that we could see really what's going on. And we write about that. Those are not just charts that are your standard charts. Those are charts that have relative value against other things. So when we're looking at, for example, the analyst expectations of a stock compared to what actually happened, or we're looking at an economic number, or some of the commodity chart books that we've been putting up the last few weeks. I mean, those are things that we're looking at because we want to understand them, not just glance at them. But when it comes to the stochastics here, getting all the way around that whole point, when it comes to stochastics, and we like to look at the slow stochastics, what we look at, this is just one component of technical analysis, and you can look at the chart here, we look at turning points. That's right. Really what's going on. We look at severe turning points from overbought to oversold, or to going from overbought down to sold, if you will, or from oversold crossing. And the major issue with oscillators, any oscillator that you look at, is you're looking at two things. Where has it, maybe three things. Where has it crossed from? Was it an overbought situation? Was it an oversold situation? What is crossing, and by how much is it crossing? What's the spread of the cross? And that's a lot of times people like to use the MACD because that shows you all three components at once. But the stochastics have been, I think, more recent than before, have been a very good guide to really looking at what's happening with the stock when a jump in point or jump out point may be appropriate. So let's talk about Cognizant and look at that. And maybe we can, you know, let's go back to maybe one of the major points that may have been a buy point and show what happened moving forward versus looking at what just happened recently, maybe looking back to July or something like that or whatever.
Yeah, looking at actually, if you look at Cognizant on, October, November time period, you have a very consistent cross of the K over the D. Now, the K is generally represented by a black line or a blue line, whereas the D is represented majorly by a red line. Now, usually when you when we look at this, we want to see the black line or blue line, the K, crossing up through the D line for a buy point. And generally, you want to see that when it's below 20. Now, when that happens, that's a pretty clear sign that, you know, now might be a good time to get in. So if we look at the November chart on Cognizant, we can see that that coming up right through the D or the red line, and it was a very clear buy point, and now we see that the stock was moving up that whole time thereafter.
Okay, so when you look at the stochastics, basically you're looking for this back. No, we're looking into November. So you saw that gigantic turn, right? And then you saw the crossing. And would that necessarily be a buy point? I mean, possibly, right?
Right.
Because it was coming down before that in this chart.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily a buy point in the fact that it's a it's just one indicator. It's
right.
Not necessarily the one off thing you always have to believe, but it's always, you know, generally a good sign of momentum changing. And that's what stochastics are all about, is the momentum changing? Which way is the momentum? And how can we capture it?
Right. So let's get into the MACD discussion. Again, the MACD is another oscillator, right? So the MACD is showing us there's a moving average convergence-divergence indicator. Many people like to look at this. The MACD is something that a lot of people use almost exclusively, and I don't necessarily think that's right. I think that what they should do is use it in coordination with a few other things to get multiple confirmation points on things. That doesn't always work either, by the way. And let me state this for the record. There is no magic potion. There is no magic bullet here. There is no crystal ball. All you could do is utilize all these different things, and for one of two reasons. Number one is because it is oversold potentially and is moving in the right direction. You're catching momentum and you're catching the ride up. Or you realize something. A lot of other people are using these kind of techniques as well. So it's basically a crowd theory, a crowd think, a group think. That if we see that happening, and if you could see, as I said before, that the stochastics were starting to show a good story, and the stochastics were actually looking at, when we see certain things, not only this, but the stochastics are showing a good trend, maybe it's right now, because a lot of people are looking at it right now, there may be a time when the stochastics don't work at all. So let's talk about MACD, though, again, and what's the difference between, you know, how to look at the MACD versus the stochastics?
Right, they're both very similar in the fact that they're momentum indicators. And what you want to look at with MACD is very similar to what you want to look at stochastics. You want to see The crossing patterns, you want to see it moving up, you want to see it sloping, the direction that of the stock that you want it to move at. But it doesn't have the standardized range, whereas the stochastics are from 0 to 100. It can't go below 0 and it can't go above 100, whereas the MACD can kind of, it's got a wide range, and that's because it's based off of a 26-day and 12-day exponential moving average. So,
breaks. Let's talk about what an exponential moving average is just for a second. You know, we make a lot of assumptions here. A lot of people are probably going, oh, God, here he goes again, Horowitz. He's going to be boring us to death with another definition. But we call this EMA, the vernacular, the lingo, the thing that we call it is the EMA versus just the MA or the SMA. The simple moving average, SMA, which is just the moving averages, the calculation over a period of time.
Yeah, just a basic average.
Right, just a basic average looking backwards. And then the EMA, the exponential moving average, which for this definition, we're going to keep it very easy, which it weights the most recent number, the recent price of the stock, higher than the older one. So therefore, it's showing us more appropriately what's happening in the newest set of data closest to us, and it's weighting that much higher than we see in the older data sets. So what does that tell us? What's the difference? Well, that tells us, and it gives us better credence of what's happening now, which some people think is a much better look at what's really going on, because what do we care what happened 40 days ago, 50 days ago? I want to know, more importantly, what happened, but what's happening now is really telling me what's going on in this part of the thinking of the stock movement, okay? So the chart looks a little bit different. It looks a little bit different on the MACD, right? So you see still the two-item oscillator.
Right.
But there's a third thing called the histogram.
Right. And the histogram is basically just the difference between the first line and the second line. You have the amount of space in between those two lines, and when that's positive, that's generally a good sign that the stock is moving up, and when it's negative, it's when generally the stock is moving down. Some of your bullish signals are when you have the histogram in a positive territory and when you have the one line crossing up through the other, which is generally signified by a black line or a blue line. And when you cross up through the red line, then that's generally a bullish signal.
So let's look at, for example, a stock called E-House Holdings. It's a Chinese stock, symbol EJ. And in E-House Holdings, there was a great signal that came across. Actually, it was a double signal that was really great. First of all, we saw a divergence of the stochastic. So if you look into the approximately the November period, you see that the stochastic came down very sharply. It went to about 10, and then it started to climb up. At the same time, though, the stock was starting to come down. So it was making a set of higher lows, just like a stock when we look at higher highs, higher lows. It's making a higher lows in the stochastic, little bits, little bumps, but it was making higher lows in the stochastic, starting to slant up. So we saw a divergence from what the stock was doing. In other words, an opposite equation, right? So we saw that. The second thing that happened at the same time was we saw a very, very deep move down of the MACD, and the histogram was probably the deepest we've seen in a long time at about negative 45 or so,
right?
0.45. And at the same time, we saw this great divergence. Again, you know, that's what happens when you see the divergence of the two. So an oversold situation was brewing. Now, it could have stayed oversold. It could have continued going down. But when we saw the stochastics crossing above the oversold mark, so in other words, above 20, and when we saw crossing the red line through the black line, or the slow indicator line passing through, and on the MACD, when we saw the same thing happening from on the oversold, the signal line, the indicator line, crossing above, if you look what happened with the stock, it based out and jumped up. Went from about 17, to about 21. And that's a pretty good move in a relatively short period of time. We're talking about only a matter of a couple of weeks. And that was a great signal to actually look at this stock. Now, whether or not it continued moving or it moved down or whatever, what happened, you know, after that, what happened here was showing us that there was an oversold situation that happened with this particular stock.
That's correct. Yeah, that's.
Will you sum it up to that?
Yeah. Okay. It's basically when the when you see a huge divergence between the two different indicators is usually a good time to buy.
Okay, so let's go to a couple other ones that I want to look at here. Well, we finished with Cognizant, I think. Yeah. Do we finish the stochastics on that? Do you see anything else on there that was? Again, this is just some lessons. We're not trying to forget these stocks.
And it might be easier to take a look at a chart while we're doing this,
too. Well, hopefully you are. Hopefully you're looking at the stock chart that we put up there on the show notes for the Disciplined Investor. Actually, if you want to look at show notes, you could go to thedisciplinedinvestor.com. And all you have to do is go to the top on the top. It says either podcast or show notes. And what I want you to do is take a look there. You'll see all the different show notes and all the things that we talk about in this podcast, as well as the fact of all the notes and all the things we go through. And, you know, so we'll put all those up there we'll have that all available for you. So that therefore you can actually follow along some of this with us at least.
Right, okay. Right.
You know, so let's talk about another stock. Do not buy any of these stocks without further research. These are only for educational purposes. We're not recommending buying or selling. This is not a solicitation to buy or sell any of the securities that you hear here. You are warned. Let's talk about...
Well, you were talking about exponential moving averages, but we should also talk about the simple moving averages
Well. That's good. Yeah.
We use these indicators quite often to see if the price is moving up through them or if the one moving average is moving below another. But generally... for a short period of time, we're looking at 20-day moving averages, which is generally the standard in the practice. And then you also have a 50-day moving average, 100-day moving average, 200-day moving average, or any other day moving average that you'd like to have. But generally, the shorter the time period, the more volatile the moving average.
Right. So when you look at the industry, what we look at from an institutional standpoint is 50 and 200.
Yes, 20. I say 20, 50, and 200.
Right. But a lot of times in this market, the 50 has been bounce points or break points.
Right.
And we're finding that institutional investors are looking at those very, very closely as a period or a time period that they look at, the 50-200, where they're going to either support the stock and defend the stock, or they're going to bail on it, depending on the general direction. One of the things you want to look at when it comes to the moving average is something that's very important. Forget about where it is. Step back, look at it. Is it on a slope upward, sideways, or down? Really important. If a stock is generally going to track its 50, 20, or 100-day, 200-day moving average. Well, if it's tracking down and it's going to follow that, probably the stock is going to be following it down, okay?
Right.
And you want to look at these moving averages as sort of not necessarily advanced kind of magical crystal balls of what's going to be in the future, but at least some points that it's going to be maybe bouncing off of until it fails. So when you look at stocks and you see a lot of times if you can draw a 20-day or a 50-day moving average, it's almost like a living and breathing trend line.
Right.
And you can see that by the slope. So therefore, the trend is up or down. It's nowhere. That's what you can look at. Now, until a trend line really rolls over dramatically, it may be too late if you want to short a stock. Sometimes you can catch it before it rolls, and you can catch it for a few points, of course. But when those trend lines start to roll over, look at, for example, back to eHouse Holdings, the Chinese, the symbol EJ that we put up there. But you'll see that you're starting to see the shorter-term moving averages rolling over. The 20 and the 50 are starting to roll over here. And when I say roll over, that's my lingo for starting to roll down. And they're rolling down, and they're starting to cross down below their longer-term averages. Now, when usually the moving average, like a 50-day, crosses the 200, you may call that the golden cross. That's a sweet spot. Because what you're finding is the longer-term averages are being broken, the momentum is there, the trend is there, and you see that continuing, that's a good sign. That was a big thing when the S&P crossed its 200 not too long ago, and you look at that as institutionals are giving the thumbs up for the buying. And at the same time, when you look at eHouse, you see a couple of different things. We can confirm that it's starting to fade a little bit. You look at the stochastic. Well, Kevin, tell kind of look at the kind of the most recent general last month or so with eHouse, and tell us kind of what you would say and what you would see.
Yeah, so in the last month, you're seeing kind of a huge jumble of all the moving averages come together. And one of the key points about moving averages is generally if the price of the stock or the candlestick moves below the moving average, that's generally seen as a key reversal point. When that price moves down below, like we saw back in October, we see the stock moving down much lower than what it was previously.
Okay, so now what are we seeing now? When we look at let's go back to, for example, to Cognizant. What are you seeing now on the Cognizant chart?
With Cognizant, we see it's all the trend lines are moving up. Generally, it's sloping much higher, and you don't see any of the key reversal points. It looked like it touched down on the 20-day, but it wasn't able to push back down through the 50-day.
So the 20-day was actually support.
Right. Well, the 20-day or the 50-day, they were both pretty well supportive.
Right. And both the 200, 100, the 50 are all not only sloping up, they're all looking almost identical, just separate a little bit.
Yeah, they're all sloping up. We have a good trend line on the chart moving higher. We have the stochastics crossing up. All the technicals look pretty good, you know, in this last 2 weeks here. So we'll see how the stock plays out. But you also have the MACD moving up as well.
So doctor, the patient is healthy.
Yeah, the patient is healthy. Fundamentals are good. Technicals are good.
All right. So the patient will live.
That's right.
The patient will live for another day. Okay. So what are some other key signals? Let's talk about how about RSI. Let's talk about RSI.
Yeah, that's the relative strength index, and you know it's a similar function to stochastics in the fact that you have the overbought and the oversold territory. And many times on, you know, places like stock charts or other charting companies, you'll see it turn red when it gets into the overbought territory, and it'll turn blue or green when it gets into the oversold territory. Now, like I said before about the stochastics, it moves anywhere from 0 to 100. Now, your relative strength, if it's below 20, that's generally an oversold point. And if it's above 80, that's generally an overbought point. So what we're going to be looking for here is also the slope of the relative strength index, similar to the moving average. When it's sloping upward, that's generally a good sign that the stock is at a buy point. Now, if it's moving lower or sloping downward, then that's generally a good sign that the stock's going to be moving down.
So one of the things that we do here actually is, you know, there's a lot of stocks out there, folks, right? How do you keep up with all this? Well, we do some scoring. We want to make sure that we understand what's happening because different things mean different potential buy or sell points, right? Now, again, you can only use the information that you have, whether it's the fundamental, the technical. And what we like to do is kind of look at, okay, we see the fundamentals are strong, and then we know that. So that's great. Good company we'd like. So we say, you know, back to Cognizant. We keep on beating on that. Don't buy it, please, guys. I mean, we're not talking about buying it. I'm not recommending it. We're just using it as an example right now. CTSH is it's just an example, okay? But what's happening here is that when we look at the fundamentals, we say, okay, let's look at some things that are strong, okay? Let's things that are weak, make a decision on that. Let's look at the technicals. And then that's a confirmation of when our buy may be. Because like I said before, you may have a really good stock that for whatever reason is selling off, whether it's because of institutional investors are selling off for whatever reason, they're changing their policy, whether it's a insider that's selling because of a desirous or a planned sale, whatever the reasons may be that it's out of favor for right now, maybe there's going to be coming a better buy point, or maybe it's the right time to jump on board. So the thing is, you need to look at all these things, and you can find things. You need to be patient, and then you need to do something like what we do is we alert ourselves in multiple different areas of when our price is going to buy, when we're going to look to add to the position, and when it's the some red flags. So, Kevin, let's go through some of the things, for example, that you know, some of the highlights. Let's go back to fundamental for a second and look at some of the highlights of things that we look at as the drivers for quality.
Yeah, so the scoring system, you know, that we've kind of developed is, you know, taking all the tools in your various toolboxes and putting them together in order to build that investment house, let's say. So, you know, some of the things that we look at, as we talked about last week, on the fundamental side, we look at the EPS growth rate. We see the revenue growth quarter over quarter, the EPS growth quarter over quarter. We look at the beta. We look at the debt to equity. We look at the return on equity. You know, all these various fundamental tools that are in our box in order to come up with a score for the position, you know, making it something that we want to look at, something we want to consider. And then also you have the technical side where we look at the stochastics, the relative strength, the MACD, and all the various moving averages. And, you know, it's just a way to take all these various indicators and see what's going on with inside of a security. If everything's kind of all moving up at once, that may be a stock that we want to get involved with. You know, so if we look at something like a CTSH, you know, even though we've talked about not wanting to buy it, but it's come up, you know, very good score on our scoring system.
Well, let's just clarify, it's not that we don't want to buy it. We don't want you just buying it.
Right.
You know, just outright. We're not recommending it. Yes, we do hold it in full disclosure, but again, this is not a commercial for them. We should probably change the stock so we can so we don't have to like kind of bore people that we're trying to push this stock. There's hundreds of other ones. So let's just for the discussion, let's change it. Let's go to I'm thinking of one here. I got hundreds of stocks on this list. Okay. How about Cognizant? No, I'm kidding.
CTSH.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good one. Let's go to one with a lot of green on it. Let's go back to EISI again. You know, the ITT educational services. We talked about this a little bit you and I, and we talked about through Apollo. We talked about, and ITT is one that has it has a good score when it comes to fundamental, right? But technical, it's questionable.
Right, that's correct. Yeah, so fundamentally, it's very sound. We've seen good growth rate. We've seen all the various fundamentals coming into line. The only problem is some of your technicals are starting to turn negative on ESI. You're starting to see the up down ratio, which is a measure of the volume and how many days the stock moves up.
Now, this is something that we calculate here. So explain to people, they can't find this everywhere. So tell me, tell them exactly, and again, by the way, there are no hard, fast rules. You have to find out some of the ways that work for you. But we want to know, is there a lot of buying pressure or selling pressure going on with the stock? So how do you calculate?
Basically, without, really going into full detail about the calculation, it's basically a calculation of how many days the stock has moved up and how much volume has been put into that buying versus the amount of selling. It's a measure of pressure. If the stock is moving up and there's heavy volume, then it's a higher up-down volume ratio.
And that's a good thing, you see, because you have a lot of people, maybe institutions coming into the picture, or a lot of retail, or a combination of both, whereas you may just have, in a day that's moving up, it could be just a lackluster day and there's really nothing going on and some buying going on. There's no difference. The price moves up anyway, but we want to see the conviction of volume coming into the position.
Right. Yeah. That just like he says, if it's moving up and there's only 10% of the normal volume, that's generally not a good sign that it's going to continue higher. But if you have real good conviction, or if institutions have real good conviction, they're going to want to buy a lot of the company. And if they don't, then you're going to have a much smaller up down ratio. So the up down volume ratio is a good way to gauge whether or not a company is going to continue higher.
Okay. And so when we look at ESI, I know that we talked about the issues inside of the in the industry, the whole problem with the recruiting process and some of the accounting that's leaking over all over the place. So we have the scoring system, and we see that ESI, for example, comes up pretty well. Again, it comes up very strong in the fundamental side of things.
But the technical is pretty much marginal.
Marginal. But one of the reasons now you want to look at this, let's get back to this point, because this is really the whole key. This is the answer. This is the whole when you unwrap the present, this is the prize inside. And it's this, that when you find all this data, the question is, when do you get in? Wouldn't it be nice to get in on the low and sell at the high? Wouldn't it be nice to get somewhere lower in now and the future will be a lot higher? Because many times even good stocks come up and down. Look at any of the stocks. I mean, we've seen a lot of things and a lot of gyrations in the markets and the stocks, but you cannot find the sweet spot. That's what we're looking for. That's the prize. That's the kind of the pearl inside the oyster. We want the sweet spot. We want to find where it is. Now, again, you're not always perfect. Sometimes, you're not going to have the absolute sweet spot because maybe the stock that you're researching, you found it a little bit late, and what's going to happen now is that you're going to look at the position and say, you know what, it would have been a better price at this point, but I'm not going to let it just get by. And that comes into the next discussion when it comes to positioning and sizing your position and using money management processes to make sure that you're not investing in a way that is ill-advised. So, for example, one of the things that we do is we start out a position light, depending on our conviction to it, depending on how we score, depending on the technicals, depending on the fundamentals that we want to be in, whether it's short or long, and we build on the position as long as it's going our direction. So, give me an example of how you could build a position. It's kind of like when you play blackjack with a system.
That's right. Right. Yeah.
Right. You start out small and you're
betting the house. Yeah. You're building up your money, building up your profit, and you're adding to it. You always want to add to your winners and cut your losses. That's always the game that you're playing. So generally, sometimes you can start off with a half of a position of what your normal position would be, and then as the stock moves higher and as your technical indicators come more into play, then you add a little bit more to it. If it happens to break above a trend line, or if it breaks above a moving average, or if your stochastics begin to trend higher, and it's a good time to maybe purchase a little bit more of the security rather than to just sit on the sidelines. Versus if you start to see the stochastics moving down, or your crossing of your moving averages, you may want to just hold the position until you get any better confirmation or even a sell signal.
Right. So let's look at, for example, what happened over the last number of months with a stock called Console Energy, CNX. We talked about this on DH Unplugged. It's a recommendation that we gave on DH Unplugged for one evening, and it's up a good amount. And you can check that out by looking at dhunplugged.com. Look at the show notes. There's actually a Google spreadsheet that shows all the different picks that we have, the dates, the reasons, the theory. Educational purposes only, please, again, folks. But what we're looking at here is a company that we liked what we saw. We liked what was going on, generally speaking, in the sector. We were believing that there wasn't a great opportunity to do a lot of work right now, unfortunately, in the area of green and energy conservation and environmentally friendly energy, particularly when it comes to Copenhagen. I think we talked about that last week. And what happened was that the stock started moving up. Well, what we did was we started adding to the position as it was moving with us. Would we have made more money if we took a full position originally? Well, yeah, we would have. But at the same time, what happened is that we were able to build on it and get more confidence in it so that we find when we want to be in it, when we want to be out of it, when we want to scale back position and take some profits out, when we want to. I mean, the whole process is all about the opportunity to do two things. Number one is to make money. But the second thing is make sure that you don't get killed along the way.
That's right.
Losing money, because that climb out of a hole is always much, much more difficult, and the decisions that you make become kind of sloppy a lot of times when you have to do things out of desperation.
That's right.
So we went through this, and we're not going to kind of bore you with all this much longer. Hopefully it wasn't boring. But basically what happens here is we go through this multiple process that you can use as well, and it's the whole process of utilizing this looking for a screen or some kind of other process to find the stocks that you want to do, weed out the ones that don't make the cut, whether it's maybe an earnings-based screen, a value-based screen, or something in between, or a combination of the two, looking at the fundamentals and really understanding that the balance sheet is good, low debt, good earnings, PEG ratios right, et cetera, et cetera. Then looking at the technicals and looking at buy points. And these aren't the only things that you can look at. I mean, there's a TRIX index besides these oscillators and the RSI that we talked about. You need to look at volume and ratio of volume. You know, there's a whole slew of different technical indicators that you can use. Not all of them are appropriate. Moving averages work well, and modifying them maybe to an EMA versus the SMA. You know, looking at the simple moving average versus the exponential moving average, and then to put that all together and make a very informed decision on what security that you want to pick up. What we're going to do is we're going to put a partial list of our scoring, just so you can see what it looks like. We'll put a little snapshot of it on the website. And we'll put a few of the different stocks on there. And whether or not these are stocks you can invest in or not, or should invest in, just maybe take a look at what we're looking at. And again, you could see what a one screen may look at and what stocks may look at, just to give you an example of that.
And another thing to note is that FinViz, as we talked about last week, with regards to screeners, you do have the ability on some of these screeners to look at the technical aspects as well.
Right.
You can see on FinViz, it has a whole technical section that allows you to see different patterns. If you wanted to look for stocks only with head and shoulders patterns, you can find that on FinViz. If you want to look for stocks that are below their moving averages by 5%, 10%, 20%, whatever it may be, all this stuff can be screened on FinViz, as well as any of the other screeners that we had mentioned previously. We just find that FinViz is much more robust in the fact that they have these technical indicators that can be screened.
Right, you can look for triple bottoms, triple tops. Right. You can look at
you can take measurements of the RSI. Mm-hmm. You can look for all the stocks that are in the oversold section of the RSI. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that the stock is going to move up if it's in the oversold territory, but if it's a good indicator that you may want to look at this stock a little deeper and see if there's something there.
Mm-hmm. Good, great stuff. Hey, Kevin Hoffman, thanks a lot for joining us today. And we're going to wrap it up here for the pre-New Year, I think it's the New Year special, we'll call it, where we're looking at understanding the next winning stock that you can find for yourself, using the disciplined investor approach to finding stocks that give us the opportunity to profit and also limiting your downside. That's a whole different section where we talk about the whole downside mitigation, of course. We talk about hedging, things that we do for our clients, etc. But you know what? For the new year, my wish for you is that you spend a little time thinking about what's most important in your life, and that's not money, by the way. I hope it's not money. It's your family, it's your friends, it's your, your lifetime. But also at the same time, when you get, a little time to think about your future, spend a little time, maybe a little bit more time than you used to, looking at what is your future going to bring and how you're going to pay for it. And of course, you have to do the right thing for your investments. No more lazy portfolios, no more wait and see what happens, no more buy and hold. forever, looking at the different opportunities that you have to make some profits and get excited, get motivated, do something. I mean, this is not just the January effect when we go to Bally's, like we said, and then you're not going to do it anymore. Let's kind of make the commitment that you're going to find and educate and learn and do this year. And this is going to be the year that you're going to break out and do just amazing when it comes to your investing. That's my hope for you. We'll talk to you next week. We have some great guests in the next year. 2010 is going to be awesome for us, folks. I'm really looking forward to it. And I hope that you join me in each and every episode of The Disciplined Investor and The Winning Investor, and of course, DH Unplugged. Make sure that you set your page to the disciplinedinvestor.com show notes. And if you want to hear and get the information as fast as possible, because you're just dying to get that information, you can log on and simply subscribe to Twitter. Andrew Horowitz is the name, one long word, at Andrew Horowitz Twitter. And what happens is that all of the announcements for the shows, when they come live, will hit your Twitter immediately once they are published. And if you want to look at some stocks we're looking at, research, economics, and of course these podcasts, that will show up immediately. Until next time, I want to wish you a wonderful and a prosperous year and the very best to you and your family. We'll see you next week on the Disciplined Investor Podcast. See you real soon. Bye-bye.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager. The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.